before we actually get into the Passover and what it is, maybe we'll just back on up, spend a little time in Genesis, and try to understand a bit about where they came from. Because that's definitely going to play a big part in where they're going and how they got there to begin with and where they'll be going afterwards. So, in one way, I'd love to say that this is a kind of a beginning level of the Bible, but I don't want that to be misconstrued, that everybody ought to know these things. I mean, it seems like we've always said it. Every time you go back and read something that you think you know, you find more things. So, not that I knew it to begin with, but most of you all probably did. So we'll try to cover some of these things. But that's what's on our mind and in our heart this morning. But y'all feel free to take a part as we're all just trying to study and learn together. Studying the Passover. Passover is the most important Hebrew feast. When you just say the word Passover, it's actually referring to that feast commemorating their deliverance from Egyptian bondage. The Passover, the first of the three annual feasts, was the Passover. It commemorated the final plague on Egypt when the firstborn of the Egyptians died and the Israelites were spared because of the blood smeared on their doorpost. So you've got the feast that you need to understand, and then you got what commemorated, and what that feast was commemorating was that blood that would be applied to the doorpost as that final plague that was brought on the Egyptians. So we'll be getting into that some in the next few weeks maybe. But let's go to Exodus. Let's go ahead and read there and kind of scotch up some of this. Exodus 12, 1 through 11. We'll read there and then we'll back up into Genesis. So probably going to be a lot of reading over the next few weeks. I don't want to try to summarize this stuff. The Bible does a much better job than I could ever do. So 12 and 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, and a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbors next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertunates thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in the haste. It is the Lord's Passover." So wanted to get that read. And then if you read in that same chapter in verse 21, "Then Moses called for the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And then going to 27, "That ye shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshipped." In 43, "And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, This is the ordinance of the Passover, there shall no stranger eat thereof." And then in 48, "And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof." So just wanted to hit on some of that, and the Passover to take place on the 14th day at the evening of the first month, and that's also listed in Leviticus 23:5. And again, once I got that far, then just wanted to kind of back up and remind myself of some of the things. Well, then I just kept backing up and backing up. So we're probably going to back up and we may get back into Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob a little while. Try to understand that some of this was prophesied. It had to happen this way, and they were to be there for some time. This prophecy of Israel's bondage, you can find in Genesis 15. Genesis 15, 7 through 17. We'll pick up there. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees. Now he's speaking to Abram. Ur was a land over, probably should have got her map out, but it would be over in Iraq in today's terms. So well east of anything that Israel has known or where we think of Israel and all of that area. It would have been north of Babylon over in that area is kind of where Ur was. So he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram 3 years old, and turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve, will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And they shall go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Now those generations in today's time, we'll think of a generation as 40 years. I believe they're referring to their generations as 100 years. I believe that's where that fourth generation comes from. And it come to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, and behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. So wanted to definitely read that and wanted to understand that the Lord had already told Abram that they would go into a land that was not theirs, and they'd be there 400 years, and that then that nation would be judged. Anybody got any thoughts? Anything to speak of there? Feel free. Now his Stephen actually confirms this in his conversation there when he right before he was stoned to death. You want to go to Acts 7:6? You can read where Stephen even mentioned this, because old Stephen went back and gave him the full gamut, didn't he? He told him all of it. In Acts 7:6, and God spoke on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years. So that's what Stephen was referring to there. He was referring to what God had already told Abram was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Now, Paul confirmed this in the Galatian letter. If you go to chapter 3 there, and 16:17, we'll read there. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. So he was confirming that portion, but was kind of speaking more to what the law was. But he was saying there the 430 years, so definitely 400 plus. So we see that in the first prophecy in Genesis, and again we can read of it in Acts, and we'll read of it there in the Galatian letter. So always good to see these things matching up, ain't it? Old Testament to New. Any thoughts at all? All right, going back to, so where did Abraham, or Abram at the time, where did he call home, and where did the Hebrews come from before they went into Egypt for this 400 years? So Abram was born in Ur, way out in Iraq, modern-day Iraq, around 200 miles southeast of what would be Baghdad, some say. Now, not all are aligned with that, but that'll kind of give us an idea. It was definitely over that away to the east side of where you're going to read most of the activity happening in the Bible, for sure. Genesis 11 and 31, we may go over there because it's going to bring up where he was at and going to Haran. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son. So Lot would have been Abram's nephew, right? And Sarah, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. So now they're in Haran. Haran is topped north of Mesopotamia, up above Syria and all of that area. So it's still outside of the region where we're going to be, where the Bible's mostly going to be talking about, but not down in the Babylonian area, but that's north in the Mesopotamia, so he was on the north side of there. So that's where Haran's at. So Abram was born in Ur, way out in Iraq, like we said, and now he's in Haran, northern Mesopotamia, northeast of Syria. And that in 12 and 1 it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." So that's where he was, and now he's on the move again. So the Lord told him, get out of there, out of that country. Now 12 and 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. In 12 and 5, and Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. All right, so now we're in Canaan. Any thoughts on any of that? 12 and 6, and Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, also referred to as Shechem, depending on your spelling, and unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And 12 and 7, it's going to say, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, and there builded an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. In 12 and 8, and he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent. And having Bethel then would have been on the west side of him, and high on the east, and there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. So Bethel, that's a place we can recognize. We can find that on several maps right now. So as he passed through Israel and walked through what would have been modern day Jerusalem, he would have walked right through that area, right? So that's where he's just now passed through. 12 and 10, he's going to be on the move again. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. So there's been a famine there in Abram's day, and he's headed down to Egypt. Now we're going to pick up kind of that same thing some generations on down the road, where Joseph is going to be tied to that, and there's going to be a famine, and the sons of Jacob is going to be heading over that way, but right now we don't want to get that mixed up with Abram, and he's heading down into Egypt. So he's been in Canaan, he's walked through what eventually would be Jerusalem, and now he's heading down into Egypt. Anybody got any thoughts on this? That's a lot of information. I'm sorry about that, but this is for me to get my bearings about me. Y'all just got to get dragged through the mud with me, I reckon, till we all get there. So this is the show, I guess, for me, honestly. Maybe I wasn't paying attention. Well, I wasn't taught, honestly. I wasn't paying attention when I was a young person going to a Sunday school of a different belief. And honestly, in my mind, for years, I thought when they come out of Egypt, they was going into Canaan, of which they had never been before. But they had. Abram had been there. He's already walked through every bit of what would be modern day Israel right now. He's covered it, top to bottom, east to west. And after he goes to Jerusalem, he's going to come back up there and he's going to have his roots there yet again. Any thoughts on any of that? Maybe getting ahead of myself, but that's kind of where I was at with it, and I wanted to back up and understand this a little bit better. But they would be leaving eventually after Abram goes back and establishes some roots, but they'd be leaving for 430 years, according to Paul. That's a lot of time. I mean, we've only been here in the U.S. for a little better than 200 or so, right? So, well, I'm sure this place would look much different over a 400-year span. A lot of things be forgotten about. So 12 and 10 goes down to Egypt due to this famine. And then he ain't there very long, and he's coming back out in 13 and 1. And won't necessarily get into all of that. Don't necessarily line up with her thoughts. But in 13 and 1, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai. So he's back to where he was, where he'd went to the east side of Bethel and pitched that tent. Unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. So we'll continue reading here. Going to be a little bit to read through. We'll probably be going through the end of the chapter here. And in 6, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their sustenance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself and pray thee from me. If thou wilt take to the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I'll go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. So that would have been more or less southeast from Bethel, maybe 25 to 40 miles southeast on the other side of the Dead Sea, is where Sodom and Gomorrah was. So I think he would have been somewhere down in there. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. I believe Hebron is south of where Jerusalem is. But what he's just told him. He's told him, as far as you walk north, south, east, and west, every bit of this is yours and your seed. And that would eventually be where the 12 tribes would be brought out of Joseph, and they'll be brought over, and all that land will be given whenever they finally get back over after Moses had started the journey. And then they would be then gave this land as they come back into Canaan somewhere 430-something years from now. But there's been a prophecy made in the 15th chapter that was going to happen. But here, as we're reading in the 13th, this is where he gave Abraham that promise and told him what they were going to have. Any thoughts on any of this? All right. We may get on into Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob a little bit. Not so much as, I guess, Jacob want to don't want to leave him out, Isaac, but it kind of pertains more to Jacob and his sons and things of that nature. But Jacob comes back to Bethel after all his travels and services for wives, and where Laban had tricked him into how many years of service was it? Brother, you remember right off, but
20 years,
I think. Yeah. Stopped short of it, yeah. Of the stopped promise by one, but I think that's right too. But in short, this would be the wives that would have the 12 young men that the tribes would then be named after. So after all the traveling that Jacob had done, that he would come back to that area after he had run from Esau and all of that, and went and gained his two wives and two concubines and all of that, but there come a day he had to come back and meet with Esau, didn't he? So after running from that, so we'll go on into Genesis 35. 35 and 1. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. So now he's at Bethel. That sounds familiar to us, don't it? That's where granddad was at. That's where Isaac spent time at. Let's read 35, 11 through 18. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply a nation, and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins, and the land which I gave Abram and Isaac to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he had talked with God, or with him, and Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake unto him, Bethel. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Ben-Oni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way of Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. So you got Benjamin there being born. He would have been the youngest of the 12. He would have been, I think, he would have been the full brother to Joseph. They were the only two, I think, born out of Rachel. I think that's correct. Yes, we can see that down below in the 24th. The sons of Rachel, Joseph and Benjamin. Yeah. So that's going to be key here in just a little while whenever we start understanding why Joseph, I think, keeps asking the other brothers, don't you have another brother? I want to see. Any thoughts? 35 and 27. Let's grab that one real quick. And Jacob came unto Isaac, his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. So now we got Jacob going back to where his father Isaac was and where his grandfather Abraham was. And so this is that area. They had all spent time there, hadn't they? Any thoughts? All right, Genesis 37. It talks about Joseph, the son of Rachel, the preferred son, and he's hated by his brethren, as it says. Like Brother Jeff had pointed out last week, it does say that. So we'll read 37, 1 through, let's read down through 5 or 6 or so, we'll see. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. Those two were the concubines that would have the other children that would be part of the 12 tribes, or what would then be named after the 12 tribes, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. So we talked about this long ago when we had first studied, I guess, Joseph there. He seemed to be the younger one at the time, and seemed to be kind of ratting them out. So he come to give their evil report, so they didn't much care for that. And now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. So the dream was that they would all bow down to him, including his mama and his father. Yeah. And his father kind of submitted to it. He didn't like it, but he kind of somewhat submitted to it. But that they just hated him. All right, so that's something we need to know there. And then he would then be left down in a hole, and they would take his coat of many colors, and the Ishmaelites would come, and he would be, I think it says that he was sold to the Midianites, and then the Midianites had then had give way to the Ishmaelites, and Ishmaelites were the sons of Abram's first son, Ishmael, that was told to leave, but he was also told that he'd be the father of many nations. So funny how that comes back around, ain't it? So some of the folks of his, what would have been his great-grandfather, has come by and now taken him into Egypt, and that he would then be sold to Potiphar. Any thoughts on any of that? So let's go to Genesis 39. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down hither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put in his hand. Now this would turn south pretty quick. Joseph would then be lusted after from Potiphar's wife, and honestly that's about how that went. And then she claimed that he tried to do something that he didn't do, and tried to force her to lay with him, and that wasn't the case. But so either way, now it looks like Joseph has mistreated his owner, and now he's thrown into prison. But while he's in prison, well, let's read that in 39 and 20. That can be found. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So wherever this young man ended up, he ended up kind of getting put in charge, didn't he? Any thoughts on that? And in one way, I hope I hadn't went back too far, but another, I think it's imperative that we understand that how they first got down into Egypt. And that's kind of my point here, is now we've followed the trail from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, now down to Joseph, and Joseph is now in Egypt. So they were over in Canaan, and we see the lineage has led Joseph down into Egypt. Any thoughts, questions?
Brother Larry, I got in here late on this study. A little thought come to my mind as you read it. I'm not sure what we're going with it or what.
Where the Lord leads.
But to me, if we honor God, do His will, it always comes out right.
Amen.
He'll take care of us. So
amen.
That's just a little thought.
Amen. God bless. God bless. Appreciate that. That's what we're looking for. Following the Lord's Spirit here in Sunday school. That's perfect. Anything else? So, Joseph is in this prison. He's going to be known to be an interpreter of dreams. From two others that was thrown in there with him, and he interpreted dreams for them. And one of them was a baker, and what was the other one, brethren? A butler. Is that right? So he interprets dreams for them, and as they get released, some 2 years go by, I think, and then the Pharaoh has a dream. And he needs somebody to interpret his dream. And I think it was the butler that says, hey, I know a guy. Met him in prison. And let's see if he can maybe help us interpret these dreams. So Genesis 41. Pick up around the 15th verse. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. I appreciate that. Joseph said, if there's going to be any interpretation done here today, it ain't in me, is it? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river, and behold, there came up out of the river 7 kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. So that's cattle to us, this kine. Very similar. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favored, and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored, the kine, did eat up the first 7 fat kine. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but there were still ill-favored as at the beginning. So I awoke, and I saw in my dream, and behold, 7 ears came up in one stalk, full and good. And behold, 7 ears withered thin and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the 7 good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good kine are 7 years, and the 7 good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. It's one and the same. And the 7 thin and ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years, and the 7 empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh, what God is about to do. He showeth unto Pharaoh, behold, there came 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. So both of those dreams were one and the same. There was going to be 7 years of plentiful fatness, and there was going to be 7 years of thinness and famine. And the plenty should not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. So he told him, you've seen these in two different ways because it's fixing to happen. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. And let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that came and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for a store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. So he's told them, pick out somebody, but this is what you need to do. Pick out a wise man, but keep this stuff back. Keep the plentiful years to get you through the drought years, the famine years. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath shown thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Amen. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. So they were second in command. There was one above him, and that was Pharaoh himself. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah. And he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And now Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls, and he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field which was round about every city, laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much until he left numbering, for it was without number. Now, jumping to the 56th, and the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all the countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was sore in all the lands. So that is why you end up with one man down in Egypt, what was sold into be Potiphar's servant, what was then imprisoned, and then what has then been raised out of prison to be second in command of all of Egypt. But now that this famine has come on, now all the rest of the world is going to have to come down into Egypt to have something to eat. The famine has hit not only in Egypt, but it hit up north as well into the land of Canaan, where in Hebron, in all of those areas of where the Israelites were at the time. So, any thoughts or any questions? I know that was a lot of history there, but wanted to establish how they got down there, why they were there, and then did they overstay their welcome? They did. I believe they did. But we also got to understand, looks like the Lord had planned that somewhat for them to be there that 400 years too. If nothing else, we're probably at a good place to stop. We'll try to get into the meat of it a little bit next week. Again, where we're going with this is getting into the Passover. We want to understand all of that. So, if nothing else, consider yourself dismissed this morning.